Hello, and welcome to Special Ed Rising, No Parent Left Behind. I'm your host, Mark Ingracia, and I've been an active member in the field of special education for 35 years as a classroom teacher, tutor, parent trainer, consultant, and advocate. Thank you so much for joining me. In this episode, I'm speaking about managing physical outbursts or meltdowns in your neurodivergent child. This is a podcast for parents and caregivers of children along the spectrum of disabilities as an information hub and promoter for the advancement of people with disabilities in all areas of life. So if you're interested in learning about topics from the world of exceptional needs, educational services, health and wellness, fitness, nutrition for you and your child, and more, this is the place for you. If you like the show, please subscribe, like, comment, and tell your friends about it. And for some extra help to inform your journey, visit the resource page of my website, specialedrising.com. I would love to feature your success stories on the show, so if you'd like to contribute, please send them to my email so we can show the world what's possible. If you enjoy the podcast, now you can tune into my YouTube channel, Special Ed Rising, for short clips from my interviews. The catalog is growing, so look for new clips in the coming days and weeks. Now, let's tame those triggers on our way to another win. Violent physical outbursts are very real occurrences in the lives of children and adults on the spectrum. Managing them can be one of the greatest challenges for parents, guardians, and teachers. The typical parent is ill-equipped in these moments and unintentionally can make choices that can lead to trends which in the future fail to alleviate the problem. This is not meant to scare anyone. What I mean is that if behaviors are not dealt with early in a way that not only diffuses them, but also teaches your child the potential harmful consequences to others, along with potential consequences to themselves, for example, losing privileges, etc., they can become ingrained, and the longer they persist, the more difficult it can be to break trends. You also want to teach the benefits of following rules of communal and cooperative socialization. The optimal time to deal with these outbursts are when your child first begins to evidence the behavior. It's not to say that later on it's impossible, it's just that it means that the longer one waits, the more ingrained, again, these behaviors can become. And as well, the child will learn that without consequences and strategies to self-regulate, there's no anchor for them to call upon for guidance. Parents and professionals in the field can and should be aware of the level of physical harm a child can produce and take precautions and be prepared. Failing to do so, they may get to a point where meltdowns are so potentially dangerous that they're afraid to initiate actions because they're afraid of inflaming the situation. So they may have a tendency to hold back on demands and expectations and instead allow lesser behaviors, like not following a rule or negatively reacting to a schedule change, to go unchecked in order that they don't trigger the child. When this point is arrived at, it indicates that everything done is done with the wrong motivation. That motivation is to avoid confrontation and upset that can get out of control. I want to take a moment for an aside here and share this message with parents, but almost more so with teachers. As many of you are aware, and for those that aren't, when a small toothpick of a child melts down, they can develop superhuman strength. Handling such strength and determination can be intimidating and terrifying. I've had many young children who, when melting down, would most likely be able to beat me in an arm wrestle if they could focus that energy. When that adrenaline shoots skyward, the Hulk can appear. Protect yourself. My advice to teachers is to do your best not to be alone or attempt to physically manage meltdowns alone. Call for help immediately and be sure to have a witness. Don't try and be a hero. We do ourselves a disservice when there are no witnesses to how we handle an outburst with a child. If anything should happen and the child gets hurt while you are trying to restrain them, if it comes to that, you're left to account, and having others see what happened may be your only saving grace. Now, one example of a behavioral outburst that is unacceptable from a child is throwing objects. Teaching kids with autism the importance of not throwing things at people is crucial for their social development and understanding of appropriate behavior. One approach to teaching this concept, as I've spoken about several times, is through visual aids and social stories that illustrate the negative impact of throwing objects at others. By using clear and concise language and pictures, the neurodivergent child can better understand why this behavior is not acceptable. Making these stories part of your child's everyday routine, along with reviewing house and classroom rules, will work to ingrain these concepts and help to cultivate skills that can train them to select alternative behavior choices in the moment. Teaching and modeling alternative ways for children to express their emotions or frustrations is key to providing them with a degree of self-determination. With knowledge and options, a child can choose how to respond instead of reacting to an upsetting trigger. Teaching them alternative coping mechanisms, such as taking deep breaths or using words to communicate their feelings, can help to prevent the impulse to throw objects. Encouraging positive reinforcement for using these alternative strategies can also reinforce the message that throwing things at others is not appropriate. Something like a behavior tracker is an easy way for your child to see their progress as they accumulate checks, stars, or whatever you decide to use, to reinforce the good choices they make. I can post an example of a tracker on my resource page. Recognizing triggers is especially important and beneficial to reducing and/or eliminating meltdowns. Common triggers are changes in routine, anxiety, sensory overload, and having trouble communicating. Takai.nz, that's T-A-K-A-I.nz, recommends writing a diary of when a meltdown happens is a good way for you to try and figure out what might have caused it and what helped afterwards. Consistent and clear boundaries are also important when teaching children with autism or other neurodiverse disabilities about appropriate behavior. Setting firm rules and consequences for throwing objects can help them understand the expectations and consequences of their actions. Be sure to hang the rules in a place where it can be easily seen and talk to your child about them. Ask them questions about the rules. Play games that incorporate the rules. Hold family meetings one time each week to review the rules, review the good things that happened that week, and plan your schedule for the next week. Being a part of the process helps your child to internalize and feel calmer, knowing what's coming up. By providing a structured and supportive environment, neurodiverse children can learn and internalize the importance of respecting others and expressing themselves in a positive way. Here are some examples of rules you can use. The general rule for rules is no more than five, and as much as you can, use positive language. Sometimes it can't be avoided when you need to be very specific about certain behaviors. 1. Keep hands and feet to yourself, or use safe hands and feet. 2. Speak nicely to mommy and daddy. 3. Listen to mommy and daddy. 4. Use kind words. 5. Follow directions. 6. Say please and thank you. 7. Use objects appropriately. Do not throw them. You can come up with ones that fit your needs, and obviously I just read more than 5, but limiting to 5 is probably more manageable. MyAsperger's.com recommends when making rules to be consistent. Be sure your kids understand that the rules are maintained at all times, and that the rules hold true even at other people's houses. Be reasonable. Don't change the rules in midstream and/or add new consequences without talking to your kids. Avoid unrealistic threats like, I'm going to call the police. That is my least favorite of all time, and I've heard it many times from different parents, and yuck, I just don't like that one. Be specific. Tell your kids the rule and what behaviors you expect. And lastly, recognize good behavior. Always let your kids know how happy you are that they respect the rules of the household by praising them. I would also add to this to be a good role model. Kids are watching, and how you behave and respond will be their template. Remember, time, patience, and consistency are the three ingredients that will always be called for when raising your child. If you're able to be mindful of these, you're off to a great start or restart in the handling of difficult behaviors. Add to that understanding and a structured approach, and your children can learn to grow and interact more effectively with others. Trust yourself and reach out to your team, including your partner, teachers, administrators, and therapists, for input, feedback, and guidance. You're not alone and shouldn't feel that way. There are plenty of supports waiting to help you. Check out the resource page of my website, specialedarising.com, to find some. It's time now for a tip of the cap, your exceptional needs parenting tip. Today's tip comes from childmind.org. I want to address a range of mental illnesses in addition to other health topics moving forward. With that in mind, here's a short piece of advice for parents whose kids are hard on themselves. It's entitled, How to Help Kids Who Are Too Hard on Themselves. Bolstering self-critical children who tend to talk themselves down. Written by Catherine Martinelli. All kids say bad stuff about themselves sometimes, but when their inner voice keeps saying bad things, it can have a negative effect on them. Children who expect a lot of themselves may be prone to negative self-talk. For older kids, saying things like, "I'm so stupid," or "I'm so fat," can be a way of protecting themselves from social pressure. They may say bad things about themselves before someone else does it. And kids who are being bullied may start to believe the bad things other kids say about them and start saying them too. While some kids may do this as a way of getting attention, others do it because they're not good at bouncing back when something bad happens. They also might not want to try new or hard things. Parents should take negative self-talk seriously when it starts to happen a lot and causes problems with school or friends. Also, watch out if your child stops eating or sleeping well or complains about feeling sick a lot and doesn't want to go to school. This could mean your child is depressed. Parents can help. Really listen to your child and show that you care how they feel. Try not to be overly cheery when they share a concern. When you catch yourself being negative, correct yourself. For example, if you burn something and blurt out, "I'm a terrible cook," correct that. Say, "Actually, I'm a pretty good cook. Everyone makes mistakes." Check in with your child's teachers too. If your child keeps saying bad things about themselves, seems to be depressed, or has other changes in their behavior, it makes sense to talk to a mental health professional. It's back, the Good News Community Share. Today's Community Share comes from DisabilityScoop.com. Chewy Helping Train Autism Service Dogs by David Cifarelli. The newest members of Chewy's Boston office are two yellow Labrador retrievers who will be using the city as their classroom to eventually help children with autism. Brothers Blue and Luca are 10-week-old puppies who are gearing up for their careers as service dogs. This is part of Chewy's first-time partnership with Blue Path Service Dogs, a nonprofit organization that trains service dogs to become autism service dogs for families. "We're so excited to work with Chewy," said Michelle Breyer, one of Blue Path's founders and vice president of marketing and development. "I can't think of a better brand partner where every employee, everyone who's connected to Chewy, truly believes in the power of the human-animal bond and just the profound difference that animals make in our world," she continued. Founded in 2016, Blue Path has placed more than 50 dogs with families and in facilities, according to Breyer. She also expects that number to increase exponentially. "We continue to see how children with autism so beautifully connect with dogs in a way that sometimes they're not able to do so with people," Breyer said. "So we're trying to put out more dogs every single year because the demand for our services is only rising." I want to thank you again for listening to this episode, and I hope you'll join me each week to hear about topics new to you or close to your heart. I hope this podcast might inspire you to face your days more confidently, stirring a greater sense of self-love, mindfulness, and outpouring of goodness and positive role modeling for your children, while remembering to attend to the areas of your own mental, physical, and if you're inclined, spiritual health, enabling you to be all you hope to be for them. All music heard on today's show comes from Jason Shaw at Audionautix.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Special Ed Rising, and on my website, specialedrising.com. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts, and tell your friends. You can contact me directly with questions, comments, or if you're interested in parent training through my email, specialedrising@gmail.com, or my contact pages on Facebook or my website. Also, let me know if there's anything you'd like to learn more about, and until next time, peace and keep rising.